Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoken unto you, you had not had sin. But He said, now you have no cloak to cover your sin." Our Lord Jesus Christ is simply saying that if I had not come and spoken to you, you know sin as a result of my coming. When you and I look at the book of John, I believe that we see these pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. John number 20, the Bible says, "Truly many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in His name." If our Lord Jesus Christ had not come, then you and I would not have the right concept of world history. As a matter of fact, the effect of our Lord Jesus Christ on world history is phenomenal, far more so than the world would ever imagine. There are those in our world today who are infidels. There are agnostics. There are atheists. These are folks who do not believe in the inspiration of the Bible. They do not believe that God created the heaven and the earth. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not have faith that this world is going to end someday, and that you and I will be presented to the God of heaven through Christ Jesus. These are infidel. These are people who wish to reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Every day of the week and every hour of the day, every infidel in the world recognizes Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, "I don't believe in Jesus. I do not." Now, I'm not saying that would be of any in this audience today, but the world says, I do not believe in Jesus. I do not." Listen, you do every time you look at your watch, every time you date a letter, every time you look at the calendar, a man recognizes Jesus Christ as the Son of God. How do we know? Because our time basically is divided in B.C. and A.D. B.C. before Christ, A.D. meaning in the year of our Lord. And so when an individual writes August the 26th and does so with the year of 2007, they are saying in the year of our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and existed with God. He is deity. In the book of John chapter 1 verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ existed in the beginning. The Bible tells us in John chapter 17, Jesus, in His prayer unto God, He said, "I have glorified Thy name among those whom You have given to Me." Now He said, "Glorify Me. I have glorified Thee. Now glorify Me with the glory that I had before the world began." What do we find? That our Lord Jesus Christ existed before the world began. In the book of John, chapter number 6, in verse number 38, we find that our Lord said, "I came to do the will of Him that sent Me. I came to do His will. He is the one who has sent Me. I existed even in that time." In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8, you remember that the Bible says that though He were poor, or though He were rich, yet He became poor for your sakes, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. The Bible tells us also in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, "We know that Thou art a teacher come from God." The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, at the announcement of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Thou shalt bring forth a child, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the power and the effect that He has had and continues to have upon our world. What if Christ had not come. What would life be like if our Lord Jesus Christ had not come? When I was in college, I had a class in American history. I'll never forget this teacher. Her name was Miss Belcher. She was not a great lover of Franklin D. Roosevelt. But the point she was wanting to make was this, that Franklin D. Roosevelt had an effect upon our society. You and I can look back over history, and we can see these individuals in history who have had an effect on society. I have been in congregations and I have seen individuals who come into that congregation who maybe place their membership there or attend there for a period of time, and you see the lives of these individuals and they have an effect on that congregation. You see a man or a woman, and many times there are those individuals. Here is a man, he is very rambunctious, he is very worldly, he is out living in the world, living for himself, and he meets a young lady, and she is a faithful child of God, and she begins to teach him and encourage him, and all of a sudden his life begins to change because he came into contact with this individual as a Christian. I don't know if you remember this illustration or not, but two years ago, I guess, Brother Barry Grider, who preached in a gospel meeting here, told about a man who had abused his wife and how that she had left him, had gone back to her father's house, and then one day this man came into contact with the gospel of Christ. He went back to his father-in-law, back to his wife who was living with her father, and he went up on the porch and knocked on the door, and her dad came to the door and he said, "Get out of here. You are not having any contact with my daughter. Get away from here. We don't want anything to do with you." He said, wait a minute. He said, that man is dead. This is a new man that's standing on your porch. That man had come into contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that this old man is crucified. We take that old man of sin and he is buried in water and he comes out of a watery grave to walk in a new life. And that's what this man was saying to his wife's father. "I am a new man. I'm not that old man." What made the difference? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made the difference. What would life be like if Christ had not come? If you and I could just imagine in this world today, when you go down Hospital Drive and you look at Douglas County Hospital, or ladies and gentlemen, when you go down the town in Atlanta or wherever you may be, and you see a hospital, I'm going to tell you, it was not built by an atheist. When you see some of our greater institutions in America today, they were not built by the atheist. These institutions, whether they be a hospital or schools, they were started by men and women who had respect for the Bible and who loved Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and through their efforts and through their energy. Ladies and gentlemen, atheism doesn't do anything but damn a soul. It doesn't build hospitals. It does not build schools. It does not build lives. It does not make people faithful to their husband and to their wife. What would our world be like, folks, if Jesus had not come? I'm going to give you four things very quickly. Number one is this. If Jesus Christ had not come, what would my life be like? My life, ladies and gentlemen, would continue to be a life of sin. When I read the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, and go back to the book of Isaiah chapter number 30 and verse number 1, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says they sin. They had sin to sin. The Bible says concerning the children of Israel, God said, "You have a counselor, but I am not him. You do not counsel with me." And what you do is you simply add sin to sin. In the book of Hosea, chapter number 13 and verse number 2, it's almost the same as Isaiah, except the Bible says that you have added sin to sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we look at our world today and we see the impact that sin has on the lives of individuals. Isaiah 53 verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What are we saying? That man is involved in sin. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible said, "If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us." You and I look at the Bible again. Romans chapter number 3 is an interesting chapter of the New Testament. The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." In the beginning of that, the Bible is talking about the fact, Paul is saying, well, you know, you've got the Gentiles and the Jews, and the Jews are having the concept, well, we are Abraham's children, we're not in God. Listen, he said, there are none who are righteous, no, not one. Go down to the next few verses in verse number 13. He said, their throat, man, this is powerful. He said their throat is an open sepulchre. What is he saying? Well, he said it's just full of death. He said their tongue is a tongue of deceit. And in their lips there is lying. And then in verse number 18 of Romans chapter 3, he says this. He said that they do not see. They have no fear of the Lord in their eyes. Does that not describe our world today? That man feels that he can do whatever he chooses to do. That individuals can say, they have no fear of God. Ladies and gentlemen, then in verse number 23, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you think about this. Your sin and my sin would still be accounted to us were it not for Jesus Christ. There is only one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that will take a life of sin and correct it, that will take a life of sin and put that sin behind, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." The Bible says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14 that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You and I can go to the book of Hebrews. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, are the ones who are sinners. And in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Bible says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot reach, neither are His ears heavy that He cannot hear." But He said, your sin has separated between you and God. The Bible tells us in the book of Samuel, back in 1 Samuel, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Why? Because of his sin. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ had not come, my life would be much different today because I would still be carrying the weight of my sin upon my shoulders. I was baptized into Christ in 1952. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from our sin. When you and I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I walk in the light as He is in the light, watch, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse me from my sin. I don't have to go to bed at night with the idea in mind that, hey, I am condemned to an eternal damnation because of sin, because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away that sin. He died on the cross, gave His life, loved me in order that I can be saved. What would your life be like if Jesus had not come? Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us would stand condemned before God without the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a second reason. In the second place, what would life be like if Christ had not come? I would not have peace that passeth understanding. This passage of Scripture, I mean, you know, that gives me a... that's always given me a hard time. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, the Bible says that we are to pray for our rulers and our leaders and the kings. And listen to what the Bible says, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. Huh. Did you read the paper yesterday? Did you turn on the news this morning? Have you looked at the news in the past few days? Ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans and Democrats fight against each other. There's no peace there. You look at our world stage, and you see the fighting that's going on in Iraq or wherever. There's no peace there. Ladies and gentlemen, you look out in our streets of our cities today, and somebody drives by and they fire a pistol and that bullet goes through the window and hits a little 9-year-old girl. That's not much peace to me. And yet the Bible says that I am to pray for the rulers of the land that I might lead a quiet and peaceable life. What about the passage of Scripture in the book of Philippians chapter number 4? The Bible said, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that passeth understanding. Jesus said in John 15, my peace I give to you. What is that peace? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a story that's circulating on the internet or emails, but there was one, I can sleep when the wind blows. And the story goes that a fellow was applying for a job on a farm. And the farmer asked this man, he said, well, can you do so? And everything, only thing the man would say is, I can sleep when the wind blows. And the farmer says, now, do you know how to do this? And he would say, I can sleep when the wind blows. And he hired the guy, and a few days later, a strong storm came through the area. And the next morning, when the farmer got up, he saw everything on his farm that could have blown away was intact. And he went to this man. He said, man, I'm amazed. He said, yes, I can sleep when the wind blows. Because he had made the preparation. He had tied down at night before he went to bed, whether there was a wind or not, he had tied it down. There are storms all around us. People are dying. People are being shot. There are wars. I mean, not just wars, rumors of wars. There are those who are not living in peace. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I, as the children of God, know that God is in charge, that Christ died, that He was resurrected. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, and I have a peace that passeth all understanding. I can sleep when the wind blows. In the book of Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were shepherds in the field watching their flock. You and I, I'm going to tell you folks, you and I will see this coming up in the next few months. You and I will see this phrase, and it will just become so, regular to us that it will have no effect. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14, underline it in your mind and in your Bible, peace on earth, good will to men. Why? Because Jesus has come. Number 3. What would life be like if Christ had not come? Number 3 is this. I would not have an avenue of prayer. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 15 that was read in our hearing just a few minutes ago. The Bible says, teaches us that if we ask anything, listen, in His name, God heareth us. Boy, isn't that great. You know, there are certain folks you and I don't know. But it's kind of like Roy Acuff a little bit, been dead a long time. I don't know if I could get on the stage now of the Grand Ole Opry, but I did at one time. Why? Because I can sing? Absolutely not, and you know it. I can't even yo-yo. I'm going to tell you, if I did, a termite, I'd be as nervous as a termite in a yo-yo. I'm going to tell you, you think about it. I mean, Roy Acuff, I couldn't do any of that. But let me tell you something. Knowing him, that's a small thing, folks. I got a room at the Opryland Hotel one night, a hotel that was full, and they weren't taking any reservations, and they were not letting anyone in until I told them who I was. And I had a room in a matter of 5 minutes. Now, watch this, folks. That's nothing. Think about this. God of the universe listens to Larry through His Son, Jesus. If I go to the Father and I ask in His name, the Bible says He hears. Go down to the bank and buy that. You can't. Now let me give you number four. And that is, what would life be like if Christ had not come? I would not have a friend. Oh, somebody said, well, preacher, I'm your friend. Yes, you are. I have a lot of friends. Wonderful. Janet asked me, she said, Larry, who was at the lectureship? Hey, man, I began to name old folks that I'd preach in congregations, and they came, not because of me, but they came, and I considered their friends. The Bible says, Proverbs tells us that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus said, you are my friend if you do what? If you obey my commands. I'm a friend. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is my friend. Listen to this. John 14, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If Christ had not lived, if Christ had not come, I would not have that access to God the Father. Now, my friend today, do you have a friendship with Jesus? Are you a friend of Jesus? You would sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. There is another song, I'll be a friend. Are you a friend? Today, I'll be honest and tell you, I can't understand why any man, woman, boy, or girl would not want to be a child of God, a Christian, wear the name of Christ. I can't understand. You know, the Bible says in Acts 11, 26 and also 1 Peter 4. In Acts 11, you remember that the Bible says disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There are those who would like to say that that name was given in derision by the enemies of Christ. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they were followers of Christ. And then in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, can you imagine somebody, the Bible said, if any man suffer as a Christian, can you imagine that term being used in derision? Or to hear Agrippa say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? No, no. The Bible tells us, and you go back to the book of Isaiah, God, through the inspiration of Isaiah, said, I'm going to give you a new name. The name is Jesus Christ. Do you wear His name? Listen, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you still have your sin. You do not have an avenue of prayer. You do not have a friend. You do not have peace. But ladies and gentlemen, in Christ, I have access to God who made this world, who created it. And the Bible says He controls it. Don't you want that?